It's my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker today from the Tel Aviv area of Israel. He is the founding rabbi of the Seed of Abraham congregation in Albany. And I knew him back when he was leading that congregation. And then he kind of disappeared for a while, laid low. And that was, how long ago was that, 20 years? 23 years ago. And now is leading a congregation in Israel, where actually our dear friends, the Hermans, often come and hang out. So give him a big welcome, Shmuel Birnbaum.
Hi. Okay, I'm looking at the clock, but we're going to do all this. First of all, I just want to ask Diane and Rabbi Jim if you could come forward. And Ben and Andrea, is that your name? Okay, we just... do you have the tallit here? I know you prayed for your children. You got one on. Okay, well, let's just come up in the front. I just want to do this. It's kind of like become one of my habits, but it's something I really want to do. When I come in, and if you could stand with your wife, that would be okay. If we could please put the tallit over. Excuse me, I don't mean to counsel you, but... Okay, if you could just put the tallit over them, and I'm sorry not going to have all the other leadership in the congregation come forward, but as a guest coming in here, it is really important to me that I come under and with and alongside your leadership, and that whatever we do here is to support and to bless. And I also want to encourage all of you to just stand and... make a fresh commitment to pray for your leadership here. As much as we would think that, and it's true, that God has called all of us to be leaders, all of us to be priests, all of us to hear from the Holy Spirit, leadership still makes a big difference. And, you know, how many of you ever said, I really would like to be a leader. I'm tired of just being a follower, you know, and then you get into that position and you say, oy, 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 what did I do, you know, because the burden and the attacks and the responsibility and every time you make a decision, it's a crucial decision that affects many more people. So let's just pray and just pray that above all, we could minister and start just in a blessing of your leadership and all the elders who are also in the eldership here. I'm sorry I didn't call you up. I'm looking at the clock and I just have a lot to do in a short time. So, Father, we just thank you for Rabbi Jim and Rabbi Benjamin, and we just thank you for them, Lord, and we just pray, Father, a special blessing. Father, we just pray for a fresh anointing. We just pray for your blow of your Spirit to be upon them, Lord. We pray, Father, you'd quicken ideas and things that have been in our hearts in the past, Lord. Lord, I pray that any sense of discouragement would just leave, and any sense of when people didn't want to follow them, Lord, we just pray a fresh commitment for these couples to pray together and to pray together with the other leadership. And we pray for a fresh commitment of this congregation to stand behind their leadership. Oh Lord, we just pray, Father, we know, we call, we declare what you're doing here is an important thing. It's vital, Lord, to our community, to our nation, to our Jewish nation. And Lord, we just pray for fresh hope and encouragement, Lord. Renew the hopes, Lord, of even when they started, even when they first came into leadership here, we just pray for a freshness, Lord, that they would be as no new leaders, God, with a freshness. And we just dismiss weariness. We dismiss the weariness that comes over a season of time. And we pray for a freshness, oh Lord, for your mercies are new every morning, Lord. And we pray for this young couple coming in, Lord, in a new fresh, oh God, give them wisdom beyond their years. Give them an ability to counsel some of the younger couples, Lord. Give them a wisdom and a knowledge. And I would say to you, when you meet a problem that's beyond your understanding, raise your hands and thank God. For when the problems are beyond your understanding, that's when God provides wisdom. And thank God. Do no longer walk away when the problems are great. Just thank God that he has an answer for those problems. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that when you see a need, you won't shrink and shirk and turn away, but you rejoice to see the hand of your your God, bringing provision. And we thank you for the father and the mother of this congregation, Lord. We pray, oh God, Father, you'd send others alongside to lift them up, Lord. But we pray for a freshness in my brother, God. We pray that when he sits in your word daily, Lord, you'd give him fresh insight, Lord. You'd make your word come alive to him in a new manner. Father, he'd see things that maybe he thought all this is for other people to see. But Lord, show him some things that he is not going to find in books, that he's going to find only in you, only by your spirit. Honor the diligence of his study in the past. Honor his commitment to know your word, to discern your word. And Lord, let his messages have such a freshness and a sharpness, Lord, that when people hear him speak, Lord, they'll come to attention, like the sister said, for they'll know the voice of the Lord is speaking through the preached word. We thank you for our sister, Lord, and we just speak a word of great encouragement over her, Lord. Father, and I just sense the Lord is saying, you've done so many things in helping people, and sometimes you forget, but the Lord does not forget anything you've done, any way you've encouraged and helped, and be not weary in well-doing. Hallelujah, for you've already reaped and you'll reap more. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we pray a blessing on this congregation. You know, as we were praying, I was thinking of the name of this congregation. What's your name? Let's sing it out. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Let's take that shofar, my brother Benjamin. Take that shofar. Let's give a loud one, not a loud one. Shema, this is a day to hear. Become the name of your congregation. Yes. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. The problem with many of us are we're going on what we once heard. And the key, and that's some of the problem of our movement as well, we had a vision, and we're living in that vision, but my God says we're to be online all the time. And we have to be hearing the vision. I really have a burden for the Messianic movement. I really do. It came on me really unexpected. I was born again in 1972. And, you know, I was telling my host, I was Jewish. I'm Jewish as it comes when I grew up. But I kind of wanted to, you know, when I got saved, I said, oh, wow. You know, I can be, that's my past, you know, and I can go off in the land of the who knows what, you know, the non-Jewish world. And, but the Lord gave me a non-Jewish wife who loved Israel, and she made sure we got married under a chuppah, but it was her idea, not mine. And we were singing I became a pastor of a redneck church. You know, we were singing a song for revival. We were singing Awake, O Israel, but we substituted the name of the church city, Troy, Awake, O Troy. And then a man came in, and he said, he looked at me, he was doing meetings for us, and he looked at me and he said, Stan, I was Stan then, he said, I see you wearing a kippah, he said, yarmulke, with a tallit and in Israel. And I just, you know, it spoke something into my heart, and the following year, God, I believe, really supernaturally told me that I was to go back with my people and start a congregation, and had no idea what that meant. Met Jonathan Burness and Frank Lowinger. I went to the conference in 87, started our congregation, but we knew we were going to be moving in Israel. So we moved. We started a congregation, danced around, had a nice time. I enjoyed doing the Messianic congregation, but I knew how to go to Israel. And so we went, 1991, seven of us got on a TWA jet plane. My oldest was 11. We stopped in Paris. Now get this, I could go on telling you funny stories, but we got in Paris. You know how you take carry-on luggage? Here it was. I had to make 5 trips to get our carry-on luggage on and off. We get to Israel. We have suitcases, had no idea what we were doing. and you can sit down. And, you know, the Lord started an adventure, which I cannot go into in detail now. But anyway, it's been a great 20 some odd years. It's been, as the Dickens story would say, was the greatest, been the greatest of years. It's been the hardest of years. It's been the greatest challenge. But over 10 years ago, we started a congregation. So if we could put the congregation, where's the brother? Okay, we'll just put a little bit about our congregation. This is the congregation Yam HaVato. The name of the congregation is Yam HaVato, which means the Sea of His Love. So we can go on with that. Go on, next one. Okay. We live in a city called Bat Yam. They say about the city, when I used to say the only thing good about the city was the sea. So I said, well, okay, well, we have something, a greater sea, the Sea of His Love. That's my wife and my daughter and another woman on holding a microphone. That's a picture symbolizing the name of our congregation, the Sea of His Love in Hebrew, from Ephesians, where it says the breadth and the height and the depth and the width of the love of God. It became on my burden that we as Messianic Jews had to come and reveal the love of God to our city, to the brokenhearted, to help bring healing. And so that's what we do. We can move it on. This is our youth group, recent picture of a youth group, youth meeting in a home. Actually, I ended up, you know, God's funny, but I did youth work when I was in my 20s, and then somewhere around close to 60, I felt called back into youth work. So I work with youth. I love it, you know. Go ahead. This is my wife and my daughter, and the woman in the middle is someone you can pray for. Her name is Chani. She's actually a survivor of the Holocaust from Germany and came to Israel at a very young age. Not a needs. Pray for her. She received the Lord. The other lady is a friend of ours. Batya, move it on. Again, move it on. Go ahead. We had a visiting worship team. And I go back. Come on. Okay, the guy on the drums is, this is actually his perm. Okay, go ahead. It's my son in worship. We have a distribution center, and these are some of the people helping us, my wife and some other people helping us in our distribution center move on. That's also other people in our fellowship helping with our distribution. We have a lot of Russian immigrants and pensioners that come and get food and clothing. These are some of them outside one day. Go ahead. There we are at the beach. We did move it quickly now, immersion in the Sea of, in the Mediterranean Sea. Go ahead. A youth group meeting again. I have a lot of, take the pictures of the youth a lot, I guess. Go ahead. My son, and that's my son with a guitar. You know, one of the burdens I had was what was going to happen with my kids when we came to Israel. You know, we had them always in a believer school and came over there. But praise God, all of them are, you love the Lord and in some degree serving God. And that's my son. He's really on fire for the Lord. And they're having a service right now. He's in the middle of worship, I believe, in Israel right now. Go ahead. Okay, is more of a Haredi Meshichi. It's a more religious Jewish man who was with us. Now he's not anymore, but he was praying for an Arab brother on his birthday. So that's what happens in a Messianic congregation. Go ahead. Youth meeting, go ahead. Okay, how many of you know that? You know that lady? Actually, on the left is their son-in-law, too, Simon. Yeah, so here he is. There's her. She was visiting at a certain party we had. Go ahead. There's a little bit more. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go. Just move it quickly now. I'll just go through this. Okay, just a little bit of our congregation at a dinner. Go ahead. Move it on quickly. This is a Passover, celebrating Passover at my house then. Go ahead. And Sukkot outside. I never could get a sukkah that would big enough to fit everybody that we had. So we just do kind of the halfway method, you know, sit inside. It's also too hot for Sukkot in Israel. This is outside, again, the Chalukah, the distribution people, and I think that's it. Okay, now, okay, yeah, you can see them, lady. Okay, that's, forget it, that's enough. All right, can you give me it set up for my own message? Okay, now, I have a message, but you know how it is. Is this going to work? Okay.
Okay. On the slide you want to go to.
Okay, I'll be all right with that. All right, before we get into the message, I want to give you a quiz. Is that okay? Now, I just want to warn you on this quiz that only one person has ever gotten it right off the bat. And he's very smart and a little crazy. So the question of this quiz is, who are the three greatest people in history? Okay, go ahead. Okay, he's not on the list. Okay, thank you. That was a good try. Anyone else? Okay, we'll put Yeshua in there. You're right about that. We'll put him in. What position would you put him of the top three? Well, where would you put him? Okay, number one. I think we'd agree on that one. Yes? Adam, okay. Pretty good. Yes? Pretty good. Very great. Great answer. Hope you do better next time. Good. Well, only one of them lived on this earth, so only one can always be the son. Okay, anyone else? Moses, another good try. Okay, well, you succeeded. You didn't disappoint me. Nobody came up with all three right off the bat. Who's that? Who said that? Oh, great, but that's not it. Okay, since we didn't get that one. We've got the first one. Number one, you got that. Okay, we did get, number one was easy, Yeshua. Congratulations. How about number two? Anybody know who number two would be? You know what, number two is really hard. So we'll skip number two. Let's go to number three. Anybody have an idea of who number three is? You know, you guys don't even know this, and I'm going to preach to you? I mean, come on, you know. Anybody know who number three is? Paul? Okay, you're getting warm. Let's go to number, let's figure out who number three is. Yochanan HaMatbil, John the Immerser, John the Baptist. Okay, he is number three. How do we know he's number three? Okay, it says in Luke, this is the one about whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who prepare your way before you. I say to you, among those born of women, there was no one greater than John. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, who's number two? You are! We are! Every believer in Messiah. These are actually Israeli believers. And guess who this is? Here we have someone you should know. It's failed me here. Can we go on? Can we go on to that? It's not working from here. Your iPad got stuck. There you go. Where is he? He left me. He must really trust me. Okay, your rabbi? And there we are. There we had that picture. And so, you know, so basically, okay, that's the kidding part. I'm looking at my schedule. I just about right. This message is for the second most important people in history. And we are. And we need to know that. That we really, really are considered greater than anyone who's ever lived on the face of the earth. And you need to understand that. And we're lied to day and night about who we are. But I just want to declare that we are greater than John the Baptist, Yohanan, and yet he was the greatest, it said, by Yeshua. So let me pray and bring the message that's on my heart. Father in heaven, we thank you. Oh, there he is. Okay, sorry. Oh, you're here. Yeah, he's listening to my counsel, sitting next to his wife. Good. Father in heaven, we thank you. And we just pray. Oh, my God, I pray, Father, did you do something that would transform us and change us, Lord. And I pray you'd speak and you just would move and enable us to be ready. Thank you, Father. Amen. The message of this message kind of got birthed in my spirit when I heard of a political leader announced that he was in favor of some things that are totally against the scripture, immoral things, advocating, promoting homosexual marriage, encouraging even his own children to get abortions. And I just said, where is the world going? Where are we headed for when the leader of a great national country promotes such immoral things? What will happen to the rest of the world? And you can know what's going on. I mean, I got sick again when I realized that marijuana was becoming legalized and promoted. And I just, you know, it's just a world where the America and the world that maybe we thought we loved and we expected to be such a great leader is shattering because darkness is on the rise. We know that. We as believers sometimes get on the defensive. We get weakened. We get affected. But I just want to tell you that in a time as this, we need to rise up as never before, and we need something fresh, and we need the power of God upon us. And I want to talk to you about these two cousins, Yohanan and Yeshua. Actually, they were relatives. And at the time when this message, when this began, Israel was in a dark time. We're in a dark time now. But there was an opportunity that was coming to Israel, and there's an opportunity that I believe is coming to us too. But the question is, how will we respond when that opportunity comes? The opportunity for Israel was after thousands of years of no prophetic messages. It said that the word of the Lord came to a man, Yohanan, out of nowhere. Well, it wasn't out of nowhere. We know how he was born. We knew he had a prophetic birth, how the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah and told him that he was going to have a son at a late age. And Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant. We know that Yohanan was filled with the Holy Spirit while he was still in the womb of his mother. That's what it says. When Elizabeth met Mary, he jumped in the womb. So we know he was prepared, a supernatural man. And he came with a message. And I want us to consider the message of these two cousins today and the baptisms or the immersions of these two men and how it should affect us to get us ready for something major that I believe God wants us to be. Because I believe he wants to prepare his bride and his body and his messianic body and all those in his kingdom to be ready to face that which is ahead of us. And I'm not sure that we are. We have a great call to be armed, a great call to be aggressive, a great call to be soldiers, a great call to stand and not fall. But I'm not sure that we'll make it if we're not transformed again, if we're not walking in a proper state. And so we want to look at the message of Yohanan. And let's move on. So we have in the book of Matthew, it says, "Now in those days, Yohanan or John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, saying," you know, it's funny, we think about Baptists. I just think about how, you know, today you think about the Baptists, you know, and it's all the Southern guys and, you know, the blonde-haired guys in the South and the Southern Baptists and all that. But it started in Israel, you know, and it started in the wilderness, and a guy named Yohanan. And the whole concept of immersion was a Jewish concept. But this man, Yohanan, came, and I'm sure that people didn't quite understand what he was talking about. I mean, what was the reason to get immersed? I mean, usually when a woman had finished her menstruation cycle, she needed to go into the mikveh. You know that someone of leprosy needed to be cleansed. And also, in tradition has always been, someone converting to Judaism goes through the mikveh and women. But here was Yohanan preaching about immersion. And something big was about to happen. And it's paralleled to, in the book of Exodus, when before Moshe went up on Har Sinai to receive the Torah, he was told to consecrate the people and to wash their clothing. So I believe there was a parallel that something big was about to happen, something major. And he was there preparing the way. And he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He appeared like Elijah, Eliyahu, from nowhere, appeared out of any warning. And he began preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Now, we know that in those days, when a king would come into an area, I mean, they had to make roads, they had to get everything ready for the coming of that king. Like today, Obama came to Israel, President Obama. They closed down the highway. Who knows what they did to get everything ready for this leader to come. But the greatest leader in Israel's history was about to come. The king was about to come. And so here's one, not quite doing it the Roman way, making a physical road, building a infrastructure. No, he was saying, "Repent, clear the way of your heart, get right, be ready." Why? Because your day of visitation is upon you. And if your heart is clean, and if you're pure, you'll see who this is. and your greatest day, Israel, is upon you. So the Lord sent the second greatest man in history to come to declare, make ye ready the way, declare the way of the Lord. And he said, repent. And he saw some Pharisees and Sadducees coming, and he said, who warned you to flee from the wrath? And he said in verse 8, therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you, from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. Now, interesting, I'll just pass. It's interesting, probably a play, if he spoke in Hebrew, on words. The word for Hebrew in stone is Evan. The word for child is Ben. So he's going to make children out of the Ben, Avanim. Maybe. Cute. But you know what he was saying to us? He was saying, it's not enough to be Jewish. It's not enough to be physically of the seed of Abraham. You have to be walking in the faith of Abraham. And you need to be right. Because Israel, your day is upon you. Repent. Repent. Get ready. For there's one coming to you. And he's telling them to repent, to get ready. I think I'm done with this. Okay. And he said, the axe is laid at the root of the trees, and therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And then he said something very, very important. He said, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. And what he was saying there was, I am not even fit. There were jobs of somebody that would take the shoes off an important leader and take them off. And he said, I'm not even fit to take this lowest of jobs, to take his shoes off when he comes into the house, like they did for me. You didn't do it, but you told me to take them off. But you gave me things to put on my shoes. But he said, I'm not even fit to do that. And I'm pronouncing immersion in water, but he's going to come, and he's going to baptize you or immerse you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, let's talk about repentance, because I think we need to talk about it, you know? I mean, one of the greatest miracles that ever happens on the face of this earth is when someone gets convicted of sin. And maybe even a greater miracle is when a believer gets convicted of sin. Now, we hear all kinds of great public confessions of people in the newspapers. And you know when they confess? After they got caught. Because you see, they're playing a chess game. And the best move before they get caught is to deny it. But after they caught, the best move is to confess it. Maybe they'll get mercy and get a lesser sentence. But we're called to be a clean people because we love him. And whether anybody knows about it or not, the most important thing in our life is whether we're pleasing to him or not. Now, how many of you ever got new clothing? I remember as a boy growing up, what I liked most about the high holidays was we'd get new suits and new clothing. So I'd get a new suit, you know, and clothing, socks, even underwear, you know, everything new. Now, how many of you like getting new clothing? But I'm going to ask you another question. Some of you play sports or play in the work in the yard, and you sometimes come in a little smelly and messy. How many of you have ever put on that brand new outfit when you're smelly and messy? Ever do that? Ever think of doing that? And that's John's message. The Messiah is coming. Get clean and get right. And that's still the message of today. We want to put on Messiah. We need to be clean and pure. I made some mistakes in my ministry. I laid hands on some people that weren't clean and pure. I don't know what happened, but I don't want to ever do that again. There's a mixture that sometimes comes and we see it. I call it the terrible mixture. When somebody is impure in their heart and yet somehow contacts or gets a hold of something of the Lord and it's a mixture, and you hear of an anointing and there's a mixture. Some of that was recently, there was a series of meetings with someone like that. It's a terrible thing, isn't it? You're sitting and you say, but God is speaking, but the guy isn't. It just makes no sense. It should not be, and it won't be. But let it never be in us. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about many of you should be teachers. And it says, but you need to go back to the first principles. And one of them is washings, cleansings. And I'd say there's no greater place to start than with a clean heart. And in Greek, the word is change of mind. In Hebrew, it's called lachzor b'tshuvah, which means to go back to something. So the religious call it going back to religion. And it's a bit of both. It's going back, but maybe we need to lachzor b'tshuvah, go back, tshuvah. Go back to where we were when we first came to the Lord. Go back to that heart, to that prime state. When we're confessing, not because we want to get out of trouble, but confess because we know it's the right thing to do. And what we want more than anything else is to be pure before God. Because blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the desire of our heart is fellowship with Him. And we need to be clean. And that was John's message. Prepare the way for the King. But John said something very interesting. John said, I'm baptizing you in water. Repentance. But he said someone else is going to come and he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. Now, everybody looking this way, I get a little silly thing to do. But one of the problems with the New Testament was that they didn't have words because there were new concepts, new thoughts, new truths. So the word for immersion or baptism was taken from a word, taken from a word that was used in the textile industry of their day, where a garment was dipped into a dye or something, and so that was the word, immersion. And I kind of like that concept, because not only are we to be immersed in water for the cleansing of our sin, but we're to be immersed in Yeshua. And just as this cloth goes in here and it comes out a colored object, something should happen when we're immersed in Yeshua. I mean, maybe the Methodists had it right when they talked about a second holiness, act of holiness. But something should happen when we come before God and we're just not just filled with something charismatic on top of us, but something is transformed within and without, and our lives are changed and we're never the same because we've encountered God. And I believe that's what John was talking about. He said, one is coming after me and he will baptize you, immerse you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I'm proclaiming We need that fire, folks. We need that fire. And I looked at this, and some think that it's the fire of judgment and all that, but I don't, I kind of think it's something else. And let's just take a look at another scripture. That's Isaiah 40. But look what it says in Malachi. Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and it will clear the way before me. Sounds like John to me, Yochanan. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant whom you delight, behold, he is coming. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like refiner's fire and fuller's soap. He will sit as a smelter and purify of silver, and will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. There's enough in there that I do understand, that I believe that when the Lord puts his hand upon us, he changes us. And you know what? We need changing. We're an army, but if we're not wearing his uniform, we're not fit to fight in his battle. And God is here, as in those days. I believe it's like, you know, are we in the end of days? Well, of course we're in the end times. I was for sure. But are we the end of the end of the end? Could be, could be, could be. There's enough going on that we need to walk that anointing of fire, that anointing of power, but that transforming power in your hearts. In those days when they refined gold, they had a process that was different, of course, than today's day. But the gold had to stay in a hot furnace for 5 days before it came out pure. I don't know how many of you are willing to go through a process where God refines you. I realize this is serious stuff. And sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's not. But I want to be, you know what? You ever look in the mirror and get sick of yourself? You see the same thoughts and the attitudes keep coming back. I mean, you know what's right, but it's not in there. Well, I believe God can burn it into you. I believe we can be immersed in him and be changed into the fabric of who he is. And I believe that was John's message, that there's one coming here and now coming and coming again to transform us, that we can present an offering unto the Lord. God is calling us to be a holy people. Now, we're the remnant, the message to our people. I mean, I live in Israel. Israelis see right through you. But they see when you're good and they see when you're not. And when they see you've been made pure, they see it. They know it. You know? But we shouldn't be fakes. You know, I kind of have this thing, we should be like, you know, like sometimes you hear about icebergs, you see, you only see most of what's underneath, you don't see until it's too late. But let it be that when people get closer to us, what they see is better than what they see far away. Because we've allowed God to write his Torah on our heart. And we are that people ready. So I can't end a message like this without calling for prayer. But I made an agreement of how we're going to do this. So we just hold that anointing. Hold that unction in your heart. And I just want to, I'm committed to pray for anybody. First, I want you to look in your hearts for cleansing. Because before we come for the power of God or even the fire, let you do your part. There are things you can repent of and cleanse your heart of. And then there's some things that only God can scour out of you. Would you like to be scoured? Do you like to be cleansed? I can't say one person's prayer is going to change you forever, but you know what? Let's get our hope back that spending time in God's presence can refine us. You know, like that old cute illustration where the guy was refining, heating up gold, and he wouldn't stop until he saw the reflection of his face in the gold pot. You know, the Lord wants to see his face in us. He wants to see us. He wants us to be someone he can show off, like a woman wearing her gold or diamonds. He wants to display us. He wants to display us because we're his crown creation, the new creation, and the Israel of his eye, the apple of his eye. I'm not going to get into all the eschatology, but we're his bride, we're his people, we're to be the first fruits of Israel. Hallelujah. We are the greatest people that ever lived on the face of this earth other than Yeshua. We have a big responsibility, folks, and we need to come and get right and let him change us. So I'm going to pray and then invite Rabbi Jim to come up, and then I'll stay here afterwards for those who want prayer. Okay? Father, we thank you. We just pray your word would deeply sing into our hearts, transform us, help us, Lord, to take our place, to know the importance that we have as the followers of Messiah, the representatives of the King to our nation, to our people, the nation of Israel, and to the entire earth. Help us to realize once again the incredible call that's on our life. In Yeshua's name, amen.